Father, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Show us, Lord, what the Spirit is speaking and would speak unto us today. Give us an open heart, Lord, to hear, to understand what you are saying. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to be reading this morning, continuing on Parables of the Kingdom. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read through it, and then let's see if we can discuss it. Praise the Lord. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, quite a few things that the Lord has to say there, but I want to focus on one part of it mostly. But as a background, I will just read through portions of this thing that Jesus had to say to his disciples. Praise the Lord. Now, in many of his lessons, even as we have been reading, Jesus has often talked to his disciples about multiple things, trying to show lessons about the kingdom, what shall I liken the kingdom of heaven unto. And in this place, you know, there was something that the Lord was saying about, or trying to teach about forgiveness. Peter asked a question. Let's pick it up here. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I shall forgive him? Until seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened. So here's a parable about the kingdom of heaven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, the magnitude of what Jesus is trying to convey here, we can't even understand it, because I looked up, and you can do the same. You can Google the value of the biblical talents in this lesson, the value of that talent in contemporary U.S. dollars, and your mind will be, you just won't be able to comprehend it. I looked up one, someone said it could be worth $600,000. Well, I can't verify that. But if it was indeed, then that's like $6 billion. So let's consider the magnitude of what he's trying to say here. Now, $6 billion, even if it's $1 million, but it's a whole lot more than that, was what this man owed. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. Now remember, this was a king, so he had authority to say things like that. Now, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Not sure how he's going to pay that amount of money, but then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him that debt. But then the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Then I looked up the pence also, you know, and he said, well, at different times, I mean, it was like a, you know, Roman penny. At different times, it could have been worth 17 or 18 pennies of the U.S. Money. I mean, consider how little that is. Even if it was a dollar, which it wasn't, compared to the one that owed millions, probably even billions, according to the value of what that weight of gold will be. Now, he said he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence and laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Now, so let's compare the ratio of what he owed, which when he asked for mercy and leniency, it was granted him, versus what someone else owed him, which now, much, much, much smaller in ratio and in comparison. But he laid him, laid hands on him, took him by the throat, and said, pay me what you owe. And the man fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. It's exactly what he himself had said earlier. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. I don't know how he had the authority to do that, but he probably had to pay the authorities to get this man into prison because he was owing him something and he didn't pay. And the man wasn't actually arguing that he didn't owe, you know, he was just begging for time. And, you know, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told it unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And Jesus concludes that parable by saying, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now let's start from the bottom of the parable and walk our way backwards. You know, so this man was initially forgiven of all the debt. I mean, the amount of debt that he owed was tremendous. Yet he was forgiven because he asked. But because he himself did not forgive someone that owed him even much less, let's see what happened. Deliver him unto tormentors till he should pay what was due unto him. Tormentors, that's not the place anybody wants to be. Could be the reason, could be answered prayers. We're going to discuss this in a bit. I'm going to encourage discussion. You know, but this man, when he was up and about, he couldn't pay. And when he is in torment and put in prison, how is he going to pay? You know, and this is like, you know, maximum security prison where they torment them or something. And then he had done the same thing to his fellow servant, grabbed him, hauled him into prison, had him locked up. And the man said, I'll pay, but he locked him up. And after locking him up, how in the world is he going to pay? He's not going to be able to earn anything in prison in order to pay, which means that fellow servant would have been in prison for a long time. Because when he was out and about with the ability to work and earn some money, it was difficult for him to pay what he owed. And now when he was in prison, how in the world is he going to pay or be able to pay? Now, there is something interesting here. The lesson that Jesus is saying, how that an earlier forgiveness, an acquittal can be reversed or rescinded because the recipient of that grace did not show the same to their fellow man. And that's something for us to consider. Some people actually think that these are vain words. You know, that's not possible. I mean, God has forgiven you or forgiven us. How in the world can he rescind it? Well, I don't know, but it's right here in this parable. And Jesus was very clear. So, likewise, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. There is a prayer template that Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And in that prayer template, I call it a template because, you know, it said, after this manner. So that makes it a template. Didn't say that we have to say exactly those words, but after the manner. And one of the things he said after the manner was, you know, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we also forgive. Which means since we also forgive, or because we also forgive, or in as much as we also forgive. I mean, basically, even in that prayer, Jesus is teaching that receiving forgiveness hinges on our ability to grant the same grace. And the argument, even in that prayer, is that, you know, or the basis of asking for the forgiveness in that prayer is because we also forgive. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, and Jesus at the end, he said, this is, I'm reading from Matthew 6, and he says in verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And this is taught in many places in Jesus' lessons. And also, some of the apostles wrote about these things. But yet, some people think that it's not so. Or cannot be so. Or was Jesus speaking idle words? Or was he telling it the way it is? I say that Jesus never uses idle words. So let us look at what is being taught in this lesson. How did God forgive us, or why? Or through what means? Well, we know that because of the work of redemption that Jesus did for mankind, God granted forgiveness to as many as would ask and receive that grace. So that's how he did it. Now, if we don't ask, we may not get that forgiveness. You know, because this story that we're reading, the man that owed a whole lot asked the king for grace and for mercy. And because of the way he asked and pleaded and so on and so forth, the king had mercy on him. Now, this tells us that, you know, we should ask for forgiveness when we do wrong. If we don't, we may not be forgiven. Because this man was about to be cast into prison. His family sold himself. I mean, everything. Maybe not prison, but sold forever. He would never have his liberty. Sold his family, his wife, his children, everything. And any money that they gathered up from them, which would not be very much, but, you know, paid the debt and away with him. But he asked for forgiveness. So, but he himself would not grant that forgiveness to someone else. And what are your thoughts as to whether, you know, once forgiven, forever forgiven, even if we ourselves don't forgive? There is a saying or a concept of once saved, forever saved. You know, well, maybe you put this parallel to that. Once forgiven, forever forgiven. Well, I would say that that is true as long as we don't break this principle right here. Because Jesus said, so likewise, my heavenly Father, do unto you. If you do not, from all your heart, forgive your brother their trespasses. Now, if we are not forgiving our trespasses or our forgiveness is rescinded, then maybe our prayers will not be answered. Maybe that's what cast into the tormentors means. I mean, there's so many angles that you can look at this. Let's talk about it. And why is this important? Well, because this is the only way that we could have received salvation, was we needed forgiveness. And that forgiveness, Jesus guaranteed it by paying the ultimate price for it with his own very life. Now, if it was that important that Jesus had to go to those lengths to get it for us, and he, the same Jesus, the one that teaching us how to keep that forgiveness, then we should pay attention. The way to keep your forgiveness is to make sure that you yourself forgive. And Peter asked a question. You know, so, okay, my brother has done something against me once or twice and so on and so forth. How many times should I forgive him? Seven times? I mean, after seven times, you know, I've had it up to here. And Jesus said, well, seven times would not be enough, but 490 times, 70 times, seven times. Well, Jesus was just keying off of what Peter said. Maybe if he had said 10 times, maybe he would have said 100 times, 10 times. Maybe that's what he would have said. But just showing the magnitude of how God views this thing, that you keep doing it. You know, there's other places where we read some other things that give us instruction about how to handle forgiveness. If God instructs us to forgive, and we should forgive, and we must forgive, does that even then mean that the person who's forgiving should always continue to do the same thing just because they must be forgiven? Well, that's another thing to discuss. You know, we have, all of us have to pray that we will not be the source of offense. Because offenses must come, Jesus said, but woe to that man by whom it comes. So we must not be the source of offense. And we need to pray that God will help us. And we can't sit there and take everybody for granted that, well, Bible says you must forgive, so you keep doing it. On the other hand, also, the Bible does say that we must forgive. I mean, so these things are a challenge sometimes, you know. And if, what if the person did not even ask for forgiveness? Should we still forgive? I've heard people ask questions like that. But what if the thing is very painful that they did? Should we still forgive? Sometimes we ourselves, who are objects who receive the offense, we must ask for grace to be able to do that. That was a lesson we did some months ago on forgiveness and release. Forgiveness is one thing, release is quite another thing. And sometimes we find ourselves in that scenario that we say, well, we forgive, but we are unable to release the thing from our mind or even release them from it. And they will still hold it over their head. So there are two angles, or many angles actually, to look at this thing, this lesson. You know, the lesson of looking at ourselves to realize that we are not any better off. In fact, we might be worse off. And it's just the grace of God. You know, Jesus had told similar parables like that where he said, look, when you are trying to remove the mote, the tiny speck in your brother's eyes, whereas you have a big log in your eye, why don't you remove that log in your eye first and you'll be able to see clearly the mote that is in your brother's eye. You know, meaning that, you know, sometimes we are more guilty of something else as ourselves. This man owed a whole lot more than what the other person owed him. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is, you know, taking someone for granted. Because you say, well, some would argue and say, well, you know, Bible says you should forgive. Okay? So then what? That's taking someone for granted. And then, you know, if you continue to do the same thing over and over again just because, you know, they should forgive. In that case, a person needs prayer. Prayer for grace, you know, that you may be able to deliver yourself from being an instrument of offense or that will cause something that will grieve another person. And then both sides need to pray for grace. The person that is offended needs to pray for grace to be able to forgive and release. The person that is an often offender also needs, because, you know, 7 times is a lot, let alone 490 times. So the person that is an often offender also needs to pray for grace to desist. Now, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Help us that we will not be an often offender. And help us also to have the grace to forgive. Now, I have heard some real life stories that some people told of some experience they had. Well, you know, I can't validate those stories, but I've heard the stories. There was a man, a story that was told, you know, a popular story that went viral one time. Got into some kind of argument with his wife. Something serious happened. So it's happened in Nigeria. I mean, where the wife actually, you know, slapped him. I mean, can you imagine a wife slapping her husband? He left the house angrily because it was unimaginable. Got the car accident, I actually died. Real life story. And was dead for quite a while. I don't know how long. But during the time that he died, a lot of things happened. The man, we're told, was eventually raised to death. You know, he was in the ministry of one evangelist that went from the U.S. I'm just not mentioning names here. But I know who they are. The wife also brought him for prayer, eventually was raised. Some of you might know the story if I told it with names. But he found out also, I mean, they found out, he said that when he died, he opened his eyes and he saw that he was being taken to, in his own words, hell, which he wondered because they were believers. And it was because he had so much bitterness and hatred and everything in his heart and unforgiveness towards his wife at the moment of his death. And he was not going to make it in. Into heaven, so to speak. And, but he came back and was able to tell that story. And I said, wow, you know, you mean somebody can, you know, lose, you know, their entrance because of one moment? I mean, just one moment, you know. And then I remembered that, well, there are lessons in the Bible that says, you know, a righteous man can be righteous all his life. But if he does something worthy of death and he dies during in his, you know, in that thing, then that's going to be on his head. On the other hand, also, you know, a wicked person who was wicked all his life, if at the time of his death he had turned to righteousness, then he will receive the reward of righteousness. So these are serious lessons of life, and it hinges on how do we handle matters like this. Well, it's very clear in the scriptures what Jesus is teaching here. But if we do not have the grace for it, but we need to pray for the grace for it. But it's very clear that Jesus you know, was what he was teaching and what he was saying wasn't just using, Jesus wasn't just using vain words. Now, we're going to talk about it. That's the only parable that I want to talk about today. And it's pivotal. We find that there are many areas of life. It could be little things. It could be bigger things, you know, but this parable covers forgiveness and unforgiveness, release and no release. But then let's do introspection and see how that we should apply this lesson to our lives. There are some smaller things, and then there are some bigger things, you know. Now, in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, we should do that and forgive one another. And this one is on a positive note, just encouraging us to do it. The other one was more of a warning. If you don't do it, this is what you might, you know, this might be the consequence. But in the book of Colossians chapter 3, that's more of a positive note, you know, telling us that we should do it. When we do it, there is a blessing, he says, you know, for it. Also in the book of Ephesians, we see also in Ephesians chapter 4 that Paul was writing the same kind of things and exhorting us, you know, to do the same in the last verse of Ephesians chapter 4. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So these scriptures command us to do that. The other one warns us that if we don't do it, we might actually lose the benefit of the grace that we ourselves have been granted forgiveness. So it's a serious subject, and it warrants careful study and careful meditation on these things. Now, the principle of salvation and, you know, coming to Christ and all of that, and hope of eternal life, all that stuff that we learn about gospel, all hinges on forgiveness. Because if God did not forgive us, then we are lost. And so, if someone has difficulty aligning with this foundational cornerstone principle of Christianity, which is forgiveness, wonder where their Christianity is at. Some people say, well, I can never forgive you of that. You know, a real Christian, you will see their, you know, you will see the fruit of forgiveness in them. Sometimes they are hurt, you know, but they realize that, well, you know, they have to forgive because Christ forgave them, and they forgive and they move on. Now that is a real believer. Now those that say, well, I can't forgive you and I will never forgive you. Well, I don't know what kind of spirit that is, because, you know, if you say that, and then maybe your own forgiveness might be rescinded. So let's consider that. One time Jesus said, well, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whosoever sins you hold on to, that's that you did not release them, then it's not released. So you have the power to release people, actually. And if you are the reason, if there is a reason for which someone's sins are held against them and they're not forgiven, then what are we? Because we're supposed to be the savor of life unto life rather than death, you know. So if we don't forgive someone, the Bible says, well, they're not forgiven because you're holding it against them. Is that the place where we want to be? Do we want to be an instrument of that, kind of like that axe that's going to kill that person because we did not forgive? Or do we want to be an instrument of grace? Say, if you forgive them, then they are forgiven. Praise the Lord. And so these are lessons that we should consider. And people don't realize how much power we have in that. Some people think that it's just, you know, the Catholic religion, for instance. They think that that means just go to the priest, say a few words. It's been X number of days since my last confession. Say one or two things. The man absolves them of their sin. They go out and they live any way they want. Come back next time. They think that's what Jesus was talking about. No. You know, but every one of us has the power, you know, to forgive those that trespass against us. Jesus said it. You know, but how do you use that power? You may hold it against them, or you may release them. The choice is yours. Now, will you be children of your heavenly Father? And the nature of God is to forgive. How many times have we asked God for forgiveness because our ways were not perfect? And if the Lord were to, you know, I mean, number our, you know, forgiveness and say, well, I'm going to hand out, say 30, and by the time you've used up 30, that's it, you're done. Well, where would we be? Because sometimes we do the same. You say, well, you know, this person has done it enough times, I can't do that anymore. And then we pull back and say we can no longer forgive. Well, if the Lord were to number iniquity, who would stand? I mean, all of us, that means count it. Just count it. the iniquity that you have gone, the times you have asked for forgiveness, and say, well, you know, you've used up all your graces, and there's no more. And that is the way that we behave sometimes. Now, let's think about it. It is something that we should really consider this morning. Psalm 130 verse 3 says, if the Lord should mark iniquities, or I say, count and number them, you know, who should stand? Because you say, well, you know, I've given you a long rope to pull. You've done it enough times. That's it. No more. And that's how we ourselves sometimes behave, you know, when we've had it up to here with people that, or offenses that come against us. But Jesus was trying to teach Peter a lesson, say, look, count up to 490 times. And that's a long time. You know, because Peter said, well, how about 7? And I said, no. Yeah. So if thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who should stand? Psalm 130. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. So we thank God for the forgiveness. First of all, before we go into discussion, now I want us to pray and to thank God for forgiving our sins. You know, you couldn't, you know, be here even listening to this if God hadn't forgiven you. If the Lord decided to take us out, you know, when we committed something worthy of, you know, his wrath, we would only do that once and we'll be gone. But he's slow to anger, we are told, gracious in mercy, plentiful in his loving kindness. And we've asked for his forgiveness and he has forgiven us. And even sometimes when we should know better, we still do some things that are wrong, even in our relationships one to another. You know, but do we have the grace to forgive? Do we also have the grace, you know, to restrain from causing offense? Both of those are difficult, you know, but the Holy Spirit can help us. So I want to pray, and I want us to pray before we go into, you know, a round of discussions on this topic and this parable. Let's pray. There are many elements, other elements in this parable that we can bring out, but I want to just focus on the prayer for now. So I'm going to pray. Father, I pray, Lord, even as we see in this parable, that we are at risk if we don't forgive others who have trespassed against us. We have asked you, Lord, many times for forgiveness, and you've granted it to us. And sometimes when we ourselves don't forgive, we're like the man in this story. Now, Lord, I pray that you give us grace. Holy Spirit, help us to be broken enough to be able to forgive those that offend us. If anyone has done anything, that we may forgive them. On the other hand, we also pray for those that cause offense. Knowingly or unknowingly, we pray for grace, that the Holy Spirit will also help us not to offend. And it will be a serious thing for us to offend our brother for 490 times. I pray, Lord, that you will give us the grace on either side. Grace to walk circumspectly so that we don't cause offense, and grace to grant forgiveness when we are offended. We pray, Lord, because of the seriousness of this lesson that you are teaching us today, when you said if we don't forgive people from our hearts, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. And that's a dangerous place for us to find ourselves. Now, therefore, O Lord, we pray for grace We ask, Lord, for moments that we have had unforgiveness in our hearts, and some of us who carry that through life. It's a heavy burden to carry. If you carry the weight of unforgiveness, or you say, I forgive, but I cannot release, but it's the same thing. So I pray, Lord, that the Lord will give us the grace to forgive and to release. I pray also that we will not be the instruments of offense. Give us the grace to see and realize ahead of time what our actions may cause, so that we may also pull back and not bring offense. Now, if we are, the one that causing our brother to be unforgiving toward us because of our numerous offenses, well, we have also caused our brother to stumble. By even our own behavior, it may cause somebody else to stumble because you've done it so many times that they find it difficult to forgive. Now, you cause them to stumble because they are walking in unforgiveness. And so, Lord, we pray that you help us. There's many sides of this lesson. Help us to be able to extend grace one toward another. Help us to walk in grace, that we will not even create offense. And Lord, only the Holy Spirit can give us the grace on both sides. We ask, O Lord, that you show us the seriousness of this matter, inasmuch as Jesus said, cast him to the tormentors because he would not forgive. Now, Lord, we pray and reject that in our lives. We will not be cast to tormentors. But Lord, we say, well, then do what I say then. Forgive everyone truly from your heart. And those that create offense, pray for forgiveness and instruction from the Holy Spirit, that we may walk in grace also, not cause offense and cause others to be in a position that they are in danger. And both ways, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for these lessons that we are learning from these parables and the instructions of righteousness. Sober lesson this morning. We give you praise and glory for it. Thank you, Father. Let the Holy Spirit interpret into our hearts what the Lord is saying. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.